It is wonderful to be together in the house of the Lord, to worship together, to sing praises unto his name, to give glory to God in song. And we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to do that. We praise the Lord for his goodness and the freedom that we have to do that. There are many who don't experience the freedoms that we have. You think of the persecuted church around the world, and you think about our brothers and sisters challenged in South Florida with worship, and we heard that some of our churches, even in Central Florida, they didn't have power, but they opened up the windows of the church, and they had like a open-air meeting inside the church. We heard reports that neighbors were reaching out, some church people were reaching out to their neighbors, invited them to church, and five folks accepted Christ last Sunday in one of our congregations in South Florida. And so we're grateful to God. The Lord can use tragedies and difficult circumstances to bring glory and honor to his name. And we praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them with me, and we are going to look together at Psalm 133. We are traveling through our singing together, our journeying together to Jerusalem, to go into the tabernacle of God, to worship God in his presence. That's our desire as a pilgrim. That's our desire. That's our longing. That's what we want to do. We want to go to Jerusalem with the people of God to worship God Almighty, to be in his presence, to just soak in him. Is there ever a time in your life where you need to be overwhelmed with the presence of God? That you can be consciously aware of that, hey, God is with me. Maybe it's standing in the checkout aisle at Walmart. Could be when you're trying to navigate traffic that seems to be increasing in our wonderful community on 301 or State Road 54 or County Road 54, right? Where we need to know, hey, Lord, I'm your child and I need your presence. Maybe it's in the quietness of your own home, or it could be in the midst of the crowd. This psalm this morning is a beautiful song, three verses, and it really is a wonderful song, but a challenging song to sing. I would call it living together in unity, living together in unity. As we look at this psalm, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father, as we come into your word this morning, we are so grateful to be able to come and gather and worship. Our desire is to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you will enable us to do that. We thank you that your spirit is here, that you are teaching us. And Lord, we do ask that you will teach us as we look into your holy word, that you'll bring out your truth to our hearts, that you will use it in a supernatural way to mold us, to shape us, to be more like Jesus so we can bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we thank you for what this song sings about, what this psalmist writes about. We thank you for unity. We thank you for the oneness that we can celebrate in the Lord. So, Lord, we pray in these moments that you will just open up our hearts and our minds, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it was 1975. Do you remember where you were? That was a long time ago for some of us, right? 1975. There was a special mission by NASA, the Apollo-Soyuz mission. And this is an artist's rendering of it from 1973. But the idea was, and you can remember in 1975, life in the United States wasn't heavenly. There were riots going on. There was an expression of like the Vietnam War was taking place, and there was protests taking place throughout the United States. There was a lot of turmoil politically and so forth. And somewhere along the line, a few of the politicians thought, and there was the Cold War happening with Russia. And so somewhere along the line, the politics, they thought it'd be a great idea if the United States, the Apollo, would unite with the Russian space, and they would go up in orbit, and they would dock together in their space capsules to conduct experiments together. Don't know if you remember that. It was the first crewed international space mission carried jointly by the United States and the Soviet Union, and it took place in July 1975. And there's the picture of the astronauts and so forth. The project was to, you know, do a handshake in space. And it was a symbol of detente between the two superpowers during the Cold War. And the three American astronauts, Tom Stafford, Vance Brand, and Deck Slayton, and the two Soviet cosmonauts, Alexei Leonov and Valery Kubasov, they performed that experiment. And they landed there, and that's a picture of Slayton and the cosmonaut Alexei Leonov there. And you can see the lower picture, it's not too clear, but of shaking the hand and so forth. And they did that. And they joined up, and they were able to maneuver their spacecrafts together and hook up in space for almost 2 days, 48 hours, almost 48 hours. And in that, and it was a great celebration. What was unique about this is that the two astronauts there that are kind of hugging each other's head, so to speak, they became lifelong friends. One Russian, one United States citizen. Lifelong friends because of this event. Something they shared in common, though their countries were at odds. Interesting, isn't it? This was the last crew United States space flight for nearly 6 years until the space shuttle in 1981, and then until recently, the Crew Dragon demo on May 30th, 2020. Just kind of interesting, isn't it? When we think about unity, you know, this is something like, well, it was political, it was maneuvered, but there was some lasting benefits, at least the relationship there that lasted forever. There's something deeper that takes place, though, if we're called Christian, if we're called a follower of Jesus, if we're called a believer. And it happens in your life if you've expressed that faith. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to know you. I want to be your child. Something happens automatically, whether you like it or not. You know what that is? You can look around and you see that you have brothers and sisters in Christ who are part of the family of God. And you're a part of that family. And it's a wonderful family. It's a wonderful family to be a part of the family of God. We can think about those songs, right? If you're in the secular mindset, we are family, bum, 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 right? Or you can think about another one that's even better. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? There's something there that God does supernatural in us that allows us to come together and to be united. I sort of had that idea back in 2016 when this church graciously allowed me the privilege to further my education, and I got a master's of music and worship through Liberty University, and I really wanted to go and walk. You know, we're in the day of age. You don't have to celebrate in the commencement. You don't have to be a part of the big crowd. But Liberty University was known as, like, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Christian universities in the United States at this time. And I thought, oh, this would be great. I can go and experience all these believers coming together in chaos. It's going to be awesome. And so Sue and Jeremiah, willingly or unwillingly, they traveled with me there. And you can see I'm in the middle of the stadium and looking at the platform for the speech. Among all these graduates, there were 8,000 or more graduates, like 35,000 people in the stadium. We were driving up. People were jumping out on the interstate with their gowns and robes, trying to run and get inside the stadium in order to walk. And they herded us like cattle, and it was so cool. Here's another little picture of it. And there I am. The Lord worked it out where my wife was sitting in the stadium. And Jeremiah beside, and she was able to take a picture right at the time I was looking for, and I got to wave. Isn't that so cool? But you can see the crowd there. And so as we were sitting there, and we were sitting like you would go to Disney World on, spring break, you know, bodies like this, okay? And we're sitting there, and I'm looking at the guy next to me. He doesn't know me. Looking at the gal on my other side, she doesn't know me, you know. And I'm saying, hey, what are you getting your degree in? You know, and they tell me some fancy long name that I can't pronounce. And then, you know, I'm getting my doctorate. I'm getting my master's in sociology. And I look at them. I go, isn't this wonderful? And they looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, well, the reason I think it's wonderful is because all around us are people who have professed to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we are the family of God. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than knowing that you're a part of the family of God. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know the Christians I know. Listen, put away all that yuck. Put away all that yuck. And come back to what unifies us. What is it that unites us together as brother and sister in Jesus? Is it not Jesus? Is it not what he has done for us on the cross? Is it not what he has done, that he willingly laid down his life for you and for me, took upon himself all of our sin, past, present, and future, so that we could be made right with his heavenly Father, and which we are? He has cleansed us. He has redeemed us. And then he goes on and builds his character in our life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when we are filled with the Spirit, we can walk in the Spirit, we can live in the Spirit, and so when we come across the oxymoron of a grumpy Christian, when we come across that, and when the world is squeezing us by its mold, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to pour out his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness. It's sort of like what the psalmist here is conveying. Let's look at that together. Psalm 133. Behold, David writes this. He sings this. He's writing it. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Hallelujah. What a beautiful portion of God's word. We see that David is attributed to writing this song. I can imagine if you know the life of David, you could think about his life, and maybe some scholars said it was suggested that maybe he wrote this during the time where he was anointed king in Hebron, and the kingdom was divided, and then they finally joined together to unite under one kingdom, finally, David as king, and where he moved and went to Jerusalem. But, you know, and his heart was just filled and overjoyed as he watched his brothers and sisters and the people, God's people, gather together as one. It's also a song that was sung on their way, as we've already mentioned, on their journey to worship God. Can you imagine the scene, looking out and seeing people from every tribe, the 12 tribes, and they're just as different as we are. And they're all gathering together. They're all walking together. And they're all journeying together to go to the house of the Lord to bring tribute to God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the singer says, behold, I want to tell you something. Behold, that word reminds us of like the angels who declared in the shepherds, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, good news for all the people. Behold, I'm going to tell you something. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell, live together in unity. What has this psalmist discovered about unity that it's worth singing about? Why is unity so necessary? Why is David so overjoyed here? Well, the Life Application Bible notes, it says this: David stated that harmony or unity is pleasant and precious. Unfortunately, harmony is not always found in the church as it should be. People disagree and cause division over unimportant issues. Some delight in causing tension and by discrediting others. You've heard that, right? Where churches have gotten upset with, people have gotten upset with one another in a fellowship because they've argued over the color of the carpet, or they've argued over what paint should be on the wall, or whatever it may be. And there's been a spirit of divisiveness that enters in and causes havoc. And God is not for that. He is not pleased with that. He desires His people to be one. Doesn't mean that you're a robot, that you lose your identity. It means that you surrender yourself to the Lord and He gives you His identity. Again, the Life Application Bible goes on and says harmony or unity is important because it makes the church a positive example to the world and helps draw others to the Lord. It helps us cooperate as a body of believers as God meant us to, giving us a foretaste of heaven. It renews and revitalizes ministry because there is less tension to sap our energy. Unity. It is so vital and necessary. And God longs for His people to be one. You can recall, what did Jesus pray? He prayed in His high priestly prayer, Lord, make them one as You and I are one, that we would be one together. Be one together. So I find three truths here briefly in this song. The first is unity's character and challenge. We've already mentioned it. It is good. That's the characteristic of unity. It is good and pleasant. Unity is good and pleasant. It is not divisive. It does not promote slander or malice or hatred or rebellion. Unity promotes goodness. It is a testimony. The psalmist here has experienced this. He says, it is so good. It is so pleasant. I just have to sing about it. I just have to shout about it. It's not a sad song. It's a good song when brothers and sisters dwell, live in unity. But we see the challenge here as well. The challenge is to live in unity. And it's hard for us, especially in our culture today. Why? Because if you don't agree with me, then I don't want you to be with me. And if I don't agree with you, I don't want to be with you. And you say, well, how do we know that? Well, you just go on your little phone and you pull up your little Facebook page or your Twitter or your tweets or wherever you do your social media, and you start having your thumbs go. And as you see your thumbs go, you find, oh, that person, they don't like this, or that person, they don't like this. I experienced some of that conflict recently when I attended district conference in DeLand. I'm there. We have a new district superintendent, a wonderful brother in Christ. Yet we have a disagreement. What could that be? And I'm saying it from the pulpit. Well, here it is. Here's the disagreement that we have. He likes Dunkin' Donut coffee, 3-1, medium. I like dark roast. He said from the platform, and Tom, if you're listening, it's okay. He said from the platform, hey, those of you who like dark roast, I think I need to pray for you because you're going to, Well, I was like, wait a minute now, I've been offended. So I went to him after. I said, listen, I love dark roast. And he goes, I'll have to pray for you, brother. You're wrong, but I'll have to pray for you. But we were united. Okay, that's trivial. It really doesn't matter in the scheme of eternity. But sometimes we let the little things like that build up in our lives. And we allow that to divide and wedge between us when we have greater things to be rejoicing over together. What do you mean? You know Jesus. I know Jesus. You've seen Jesus answer prayer in your life. I'd love to hear the stories how that takes place. Jesus has answered prayer in my life. I'd love to share with you the stories of how he has done that. You've had Jesus speak to you from his holy word that it moved you so much that you took a marker or a pen or a crayon or something to underline it in the Holy Scriptures. I've had the Lord impress upon me his scriptures, and I've taken a marker. I'd love to see those verses shared to me from your life. I'd love for you to know the verses where God's impacted me. Oh, I know you have struggles and heartaches and burdens, and the Lord does. I have heartaches and struggles and burdens. And we can come together in prayer, laying them before the Lord, saying, Father, I don't have a clue, but you do, because you're sovereign, you're good, you're holy, you're right, and you're pure. There seems to be something wonderful when God allows his people to gather together, especially those who are dealing with conflict, to unite together, take a step back, and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. See, the threat to unity is pride, but what helps is humility. Humility. Well, here the psalmist is singing about it, and he says, it's so good, it's so pleasant, and it's a challenge because we have to live together. We have to live together in it. One translation says, how good and how delightful it is for all to live together like brothers. And we see as we look, there's a blessing on those who live together. When they walk together, there is a blessing. And there is this comparison that takes place. And the psalmist gives us two illustrations in this comparison that really speaks, I believe, of consecration. In other words, he says in verse 2, what's it like? It's like the precious oil. The precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collars of his robes. It's like that. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. So we have these two pictures here. Verse 2, it is like the oil that runs down Aaron's beard. And at first glance, you know, we think, well, man, that refers to abundance. It could be, but is it just olive oil? But we also look in Exodus chapter 30, and you see there verses 22 and following, especially 30, that God established a recipe for oil that was only be used for sacred moments. It was to be, they used it to anoint the furnishings of the tabernacle, but they also used it to anoint Aaron. And I asked the question, why? Oh, because God was setting apart these items as sacred and holy. He was setting apart his high priest as his representative to his people, and it was sacred, it was holy, setting apart unto righteousness. Stay with me. It means that there is this deeper walk. It means sanctification. It means I have been set apart unto God to be righteous, to be holy. When you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what God begins to start to do in your life? This process of making you holy. Setting you apart to be righteous. Setting you apart to be all His. That's the deeper movement. That's the deeper life. It's coming to the place where you're dying daily to self. You're dying daily to sin. It does not control you. You're not influenced by the sinful fleshly nature anymore. You're influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. Because you've been saturated in His Word and His Holy Spirit is in you, flowing, living. And then it's just bubbling over, pouring out at others. It's like the oil falling down upon Aaron's head and just trickling down on his face and his eyebrows and his beard and dripping down and oozing on his robe. And what did he have as high priest? He had the high priestly garment plate there with the 12 tribes. They were all different, but just pouring down all the way down to his feet and the tassels. And maybe if you were Aaron's wife, you might say, ooh, how am I going to make that clean? But that wasn't the point. The point was God was demonstrating to his people that he is holy, he is righteous, and he makes a way for us to become holy and righteous. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Hebrews says he's our high priest. And we as fellow ministers in the gospel of Jesus Christ were considered that. Not only his children, because he's our father, we should be one, united, but we are ministers, a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto God. So the oil signifies the blessing of God, the setting apart of God, the sanctifying work of God, so that we can come together and worship God. One commentator says this, the psalmist compares the expression of this unity to the special fragrant oil used by the priests. Only the high priest and other priests could be anointed with this oil. Aaron, as the head of the priestly clan, is representative of all the priests. Through the priestly institution, the Lord assured his people of forgiveness and blessing. And we have that in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He's made us a people on earth to be a priesthood. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 speaks of that. We see a second illustration here as well. That of verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. It was a mountain that was one of the highest in the region. And it had high altitude, abundant precipitation of rain, snow, and dew. And so you wake up in the morning, and I would imagine that you would be there if you were there in a tent, whatever. You walk outside, everything's soaking wet because of the dew. And it provided the nourishment, especially during the summer months, because it sustained the vegetation. And so these pilgrims, as they moved, especially during the summertime, there was dryness around except when they came to the mountain, the refreshing dew of Mount Hermon. And it provided nourishment, and it provided blessing. And the Feast of Booths was held usually in September. The Feast of the First Fruits was usually in May and June. And so there was a high probability that a lot of the area was dry, but yet when they came around Mount Hermon, there was a lot of dew, like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. What was David's picture of this? David was looking out, probably seeing the lush dew just trickling down from the head of the mountain, falling down just like the anointing oil on Aaron's beard, just falling down, and just nourishing, covering the body of believers. And he's saying, this is like unity. God is the source of unity. God is the one that provides us the ability to live together in unity. Where God's people live together in unity, there he sends blessing. And we see that in the last part of verse 3. Unity's blessing from God's command. Where God's people live together, there is unity. There the Lord has commanded the blessing. What's the blessing? Life forevermore. Life forevermore. Life is that gift from God. That eternal life is a gift from God. It's not an end in of itself, but it's for communion. Psalm 42:8 says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I imagine that David, when he wrote this, he sang, man, how good and pleasant it is that brothers dwell in unity, and he sang it throughout the day, and he sang it at night. Tim Challey is a writer. He says this, God's people today, like God's people in that day, have been given his gift of unity. It was objective reality for them, and it is an objective reality for us. God poured out his spirit on the great and final high priest, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Like oil flows from the hair to beard to collar, the spirit flows from head to body, from Christ to church. And oh, how good it is when we embrace that unity, when we practice it, when we foster and treasure it. The lesson of Aaron's oily beard is a lesson of unity. It is so good, such a blessing to us, and such a pleasure to God. When we diligently and deliberately live like children of a common Father, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. We see in this passage that unity speaks that it is good, it is pleasant. It allows us to live together because it's God's ability in us that allows us to live together. It is precious, it is overflowing, it is fragrant, it is nourishing like the dew, and it is a blessing. It is a blessing. So what does that mean for us today? We can sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Do you look forward to coming to the fellowship on Sunday to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do you come just more out of habit? Well, we got to go to church today. It's Sunday. Or do you go, man, I get to go and to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoy sweet communion of fellowship, sweet communion of worship together. If there's something in your heart that the Lord has maybe pointed out that you need to get right with a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe what's happened is causing a little division, a little conflict. What is the Lord saying to me today? Can we exclaim and sing like this psalmist? Oh, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our heart this morning. And Lord, we confess that it is a challenge. It's a challenge to live together in unity. It's a challenge to live together in unity as citizens of our country. because of all the different views and opinions, all of our perceptions. And Lord, it's also difficult at times to live in unity with our brothers and sisters in the faith in Jesus Christ, in communion, in community, in the church. Sometimes, Father, it's because we've been neglectful of our relationship with you. We haven't spent the time we needed to develop our relationship with you, to allow your spirit to speak to us from your word, to allow you to do that supernatural work in our lives, to create in us a humble heart, and to fill us with your Holy Spirit, the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will pour out your spirit like the oil that flowed from Aaron on Aaron's spirit. You'll pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people, and that this anointing will bring praise and honor to Jesus because we are one. We serve one Lord, one faith, one hope, one Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that you are building your church. Gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Lord, that you are building and making your bride, the church, beautiful. Lord, that you're making your bride holy, sanctifying your church, setting it apart for righteousness. Lord, I thank you for that. Help us to rejoice in the growth spiritually of others and the testimony of how you're working in others' lives, how you're moving among your people to bring glory and honor in their life. And Father, may we continue to champion the cause of Christ. This we pray and we thank you in Christ's name.